Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing, available 24/7 at backgroundbriefing.org. And joining us now is James Henry, an economist, lawyer, and investigative journalist who has written extensively about global banking, debt crises, tax havens, and economic development. The former chief economist at McKinsey & Company, he's the co-founder with David K. Johnston of the new investigative reporting news service, dcreport.org, and is the author of Blood Bankers. Welcome to Background Briefing, James Henry.
Glad to be with you.
Well, thank you, James. And the bombshell book that Donald Trump is trying to stop the publication of has extensive quotes from Stephen Bannon. But one of the more damaging ones is when he refers to Javanka, as he calls them, Jared and Ivanka, and Don Jr. being vulnerable. Just a quote from the book. You realize, talking about the Mueller investigation, you realize where this is going. This is all about money laundering. Mueller chose Andrew Weissman first, and he's a money laundering guy. Their path to effing Trump goes right through Paul Manafort, Don Jr., and Jared Kushner. It's as plain as the hair on your face. It goes through Deutsche Bank, and all the Kushner expletive is greasy. They're going to go right through that. They're going to roll those guys up and say, play me or trade me. What do you make of that?
Well, this is the thing that Manafort is complaining about in the lawsuit he just filed against Mueller, claiming that he's expanding the scope of his investigation beyond the original mandate, which is to look at collusion in the 2016 election, and is now going on to look at things like money laundering. I think that's probably a lawsuit that Manafort will lose, but it's clear that they are very worried about the money laundering allegations, because precisely because they do bring in folks like Kushner, who has interesting, to say the least, connections with foreign investors. We've identified a number of them. Deutsche Bank was also involved heavily in financing not only Russian investments, but also Deutsche Bank ended up being the Donald Trump's sole global bank lender of any note, had extensive connections with Russia. So there's a lot to look at with respect to these money laundering investigations. Felix Sater, who is another business partner of Donald Trump's, Russian mobster, we've discovered extensive money laundering operations through the Netherlands with firms that were set up for Kazakhstan kleptocrats who were investing in the Trump Soho. There's enormous amount of stuff that's just been coming out in the last 6 months or so about the extent of this money laundering operation. So I can see why the administration is worried.
Well, another shoe that dropped a couple of days ago, of course, was the op-ed in the New York Times by the heads of Fusion GPS, the people who generated the so-called Steele dossier. They basically went public because they've given 21 hours of testimony to the various Republican-controlled committees, the Senate Judiciary Committee, the Senate and House Intelligence Committees, and instead of making these transcripts public, there have been selective leaks from the House Intelligence Committee trying to damage these guys and make the case that the Steele dossier, which is the source of they're trying to make it the reason why there's a Mueller investigation and that Mueller's depending on it, and it's all basically been generated by Hillary Clinton, when in fact we've just learned recently, of course, that the inquiry into the Russian meddling into the elections came via George Papadopoulos having drinks with an Australian diplomat. But
yep.
In this op-ed, though, just to quote a bit of it to give you an idea of how similar it is to what we're just talking about in this explosive new book, just a quote from the op-ed, the Fusion guys are talking about going to Congress. They say, we suggested to the Congress that investigators look into the bank records of Deutsche Bank and others that were funding Mr. Trump's businesses. Congress appears uninterested in that tip. Reportedly, the only bank records the House Intelligence Committee ever subpoenaed are ours. We told Congress that from Manhattan to Sunny Isle Beach, Florida, and from Toronto to Panama, we found widespread evidence that Mr. Trump and his organization had worked with a wide array of dubious Russians in arrangements that often raise questions about money laundering. Likewise, those deals don't seem to interest Congress. And then when they talk about who Steele is and why they hired him, but they didn't tell Steele who he was working for or who the dossier was for. We gave Steele no specific marching orders beyond this basic question. Why did Mr. Trump repeatedly seek to do deals in a notoriously corrupt police state that most serious investors shun? Now, that seems to me to be a really key question. What do you think?
Well, I've been writing about, Donald Trump's dubious connections with private Russian and foreign sort of former Soviet Union money for the last year or so in the American Interest and in other publications. You don't really have to rely on the Steele memo for this. You can look at the extraordinary amount of information that was just out there and ready to be collated. Steele adds to that database, but you know, it is pretty clear that there's a cover-up going on here on the part of the Republican-chaired House Intelligence Committee. And, they're just Nunes has gotten back in the driver's seat and is trying to keep all of this testimony that he's collected secret. And he's also banned the Democrats from being able to interview any number of key witnesses that they'd like to call.
Right. So, and by the way, yesterday, Rod Rosenstein, who's in charge of the investigation and oversees it, he went to paid a visit to Speaker Ryan's office because Nunes is demanding all of the information that Mueller has collected so far, all of the interviews, all of the transcripts, all of the FBI investigations, clearly to pass them on to the White House, which is what he did before.
Yeah, he's just an intermediary for the White House, and Trump can't get access to that stuff unless Nunes helps him out. So, I think at this point the strategy for Mueller, I think, is pretty clear. You know, it would take a long time to have an impeachment proceeding, and it requires many more Democrats in the House and Senate than there are. But what could put some interesting pressure on Donald Trump is if his close relatives and family members like Jared and Donald Jr. are implicated in some of these conversations and also in some of the business dealings that we've come across that actually do amount to pretty much outright money laundering. So this is the strategy that they're concerned about. The next step here is really going to be critical because Donald Trump is now under pressure, even from his own former chief strategist, to come clean about these transactions. And we're going to see some kind of showdown here pretty quickly between the Mueller organization. I mean, Donald Trump has said that he would not close down the Mueller investigation, but I think that these new developments are creating new pressures on him.
Well, clearly going after this book and trying to suppress its publication is an act of desperation. And again, I'm speaking with James Henry, an economist, lawyer, and investigative journalist who has written extensively about global banking, debt crises, tax havens, and economic development. The former chief economist at McKinsey & Company, he's a co-founder with David K. Johnston of the new investigative reporting news service, dcreport.org, and he's the author of Blood Bankers. But just to sort of try and simplify things, because it's a tangled tale here and it gets more and more tangled, right. It seems to me pretty obvious that Donald Trump, who took down a bunch of banks, had about four or five bankruptcies, was blacklisted by Wall Street. We know from Donald Trump Jr. Saying that we suddenly found the place to go to get money, and you need money in the real estate business. Obviously, you need credit. You go to, he said it's Russia, and they went to Russia. And that's what the Fusion guys are saying in their op-ed to the New York Times about what they discovered and what Steele discovered. And that's, to my mind, it's so obvious. That is Trump's business model, to launder money for kleptocrats, mostly Russians, but also Indonesians, Filipinos, Turks, you name it. Any dictator around the world, any bunch of scumbags with a whole bunch of dirty money, Donald Trump will launder your money and you'll end up with real estate, whether it's in Trump Tower in Manhattan or in the big Panama Hotel that's entirely dedicated to money laundering.
Well, one of the things we looked at with respect to, a specific Russian oligarchs was a guy named Ribolovlev, the Potash star. Conveniently enough, he comes along in 2008 and buys Donald Trump's house in Palm Beach for $95 million, which is more than twice what Trump paid for it 4 years earlier, just at the moment when Trump is having enormous problems with his creditors and, is personally on the hook for $40 million. So this fellow, just to name one example, ends up being a big investor in the Bank of Cyprus, where Wilbur Ross is also later becomes vice chairman. He bird dogs the president on the campaign trail in his Airbus 319. He ends up being a business partner of KGB and officers who were also investors in the Bank of Cyprus. The Bank of Cyprus turns up being chaired by the former chairman of Deutsche Bank, as we speak, a guy who presided over it during this whole period, and a guy named Joseph Ackerman. So, there's certainly a lot of to look at here if the Congress or Mueller were so inclined, and I hope they Mueller at least will get on with the money laundering and sort of financial crimes side of this, because there's a lot to look at. Every single Trump project that we've identified, Trump Toronto, Trump Soho, Panama Ocean Club, his projects in Baku. These are all, filled to the gills with dubious money.
Well, as I say, that seems to be the business model. And we know, you've got condo in New York. You can't just buy a condo in a building without the approval of the tenants. And it seems that Donald Trump just simply he was open for business. It didn't matter how much money you'd stolen from whatever country you came from, as long as you were welcome in Trump Tower, the whole place. They even had a weekly poker game with a bunch of Russian gangsters in Trump Tower.
That's right. I mean, I think a lot of this goes way beyond what is in the Steele memorandum. It's pretty hard to argue with the case that Donald Trump based his recovery after 2000 on. It wasn't that he had investments in Russia. That's the point he keeps arguing. It was that he was benefiting from all this flight capital and GARC money and money laundering that was coming out of the former Soviet Union, countries like Kazakhstan, where you have kleptocrats investing directly in the Trump Soho to launder money. So it's that whole set of connections that are really, Trump is not Putin's mole. He is a mobster. that's the point. And he behaves that way in all of his opportunistic dealings.
Well, so is Bannon correct in what he's quoted in this new book, saying that they're going to get him on money laundering and they're going to get Jared and Don Jr.?
I think if...
they're going to crack him like an egg, talking about Don Jr. on national TV.
I don't like to agree with Steve Bannon on anything. And as I've said, much of this depends on whether Mueller can survive under the onslaught of the president and people like Manafort, who is suing him actively to try to close down the investigation. And also the Congress is not being helpful. So, this is too close to call, really, in terms of how it's going to turn out. But I would have to say that Bannon is right from the standpoint of objectively speaking. There's an awful lot of ostensible criminal activity that should have been investigated before Donald Trump ever ran for office, but certainly now, if we have the chance.
Well, the book, largely quoting Bannon, Trump is trying to stop the publication of. Bannon calls... First of all, he calls him Ivanka, but he calls Ivanka dumb as a brick. And the book describes the total cluelessness of Jared Kushner and being constantly overridden by his father-in-law. And it's the portrait of him is just this completely vapid sort of functionary who had been given all these amazing jobs along with the daughter. They don't, both of them would have to have a clue. I mean, this is a total embarrassment. But this
well,
guy,
it's odd to say that this is the first whistleblower we've had in this situation,
right.
Really.
Well, that's and, why, that's why you know, Trump I, wants to stop it, you know. Cause it's,
exactly.
It's,
well, I don't think there's any chance of any U.S. court, so long as there's a First Amendment, issuing a pre-publication injunction
right,
against
right.
the publication. It's just not going to happen. That lawsuit, if he files it, would be written for just one client and
I understand.
One audience.
But the point I wanted to make was that apart from the fact that these people are so woefully unqualified and given such responsibility and are just so vapid and embarrassing, nevertheless, this hasn't stopped Jared Kushner from running around the world as a so-called peace emissary in the Middle East, shaking down the Saudis. I know Ivanka got $100 million from the boy king of Saudi Arabia. My understanding is that Jared also tried to shake down the Qatari Al-Thani royals for $500 million for this underwater building he has at 666 Fifth Avenue, on which there is a $1.2 billion balloon payment due at the end of this year.
Well, it's a delicious spectacle for those of us who are critical of Trump to watch. But I sort of, you know, I'm very sad for the United States as a whole. This isn't, this isn't a salutary kind of spectacle for anyone who cares about our constitutional democracy. I'm a little bit shocked that Wall Street, is just off and running, and quite happy with the kind of the tax bill. We call it the tax heist that he's passed, and doesn't seem to care, or at least there's not a lot of critical voice coming out of business circles these days. They seem to be celebrating the record stock market that we have. But those of us who care about civil liberties and, I think, democratic government are right to be concerned that this is going to be a testing time for how our, system of government is able to rein in and make sure that the president can't exercise any kind of ability to obstruct justice and to close down investigations. So,
well, but above and beyond that, James Henry, the reason that Trump is so upset about this book is that it actually is a window into this appalling, dysfunctional White House, this embarrassing bunch of amateurs, idiots, crooks, con men, the worst kind of people in charge of the United States, and the people that are professionals around them have total contempt for them. I imagine the Wall Street people, they've always looked down on politicians because they're for hire and they buy them. So they're hirelings. But they're all missing the point is that the United States needs a president. We can't function with somebody so dangerous and reckless and unqualified. Obviously, he's a perfect president for the Koch brothers. I mean, he's made to order. He's clueless. He'll do anything they say,
Well, Michael Wolff is going to be on NBC tomorrow morning and expanding on some of this, but there's already been some reporting in which he elaborated on some of the themes in the book and certainly his descriptions of, Trump's kind of radical incompetence. So there's a lot of detail there that we're going to have to pay attention to. I'm more struck by this issue about Mueller, and I think that's because that ultimately goes to the question of how we shorten this fellow's time in office while respecting the Constitution. And I think that's the key thing here. All of these, sort of innuendos and salacious remarks, I mean, that's fine for a Hollywood reporter, and that's what you'd expect. But I think we need to can take it up a notch and be concerned about the balance of power here and how we actually can make progress with this Congress.
Well, it's worse than the balance of power. There's no balance. There's no separation of power. The Congress is just not doing its job. It's not doing it. It's not a check and balance against the executive branch. They're just completely rolling over for this crook and incompetent. But just in closing, you're going to be on CNN when?
There's a documentary tomorrow night at 10 o'clock Eastern time.
That's Friday night at 10 o'clock Eastern.
CNN. And there's that will go into some of these themes in more detail. And we're turning up more live cases for Mueller to investigate every day. So, you know, stay tuned.
Well, I thank you for joining us here today, James Henry.
Great. Good to be with you.
And again, I've been speaking with James Henry, who's an economist, lawyer, and investigative journalist. He's written extensively about global banking debt crisis and tax havens. He's the former chief economist at McKinsey & Company and the co-founder with David K. Johnson of the new investigative reporting news service, dcreport.org, and the author of Blood Bankers. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back discussing Trump's litigious efforts to silence Bannon and the cease and desist warning against the publishers of the new book by Michael Wolff, Fire and Fury.